You have reached the voicemail of Doug Armstrong, the general manager for the St. Louis Blues, the defending Stanley Cup champions. Please leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Hey, Dougie, it's Peter. Not too sure how many Peters you know because of Peter Angelo, but it's Peter Chiarelli here. Just you know, I never got a call back from you, just checking to see where we're at. I know the Blues just won the Cup, Dougie. And what better way to roll into the season than to add some muscle? I'm in the Gary Roberts program now. I showed up there, and at first he was like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" But I told him, like, you know, when I was evaluating talent, I just went with the guys who showed up in the best shape, so I figured it couldn't hurt. Just give me a ring, Dougie. If it doesn't work, how about a work reference, just in case Seattle wants a piece of the PD pie? Give me a call.
The best part of waking up.
When that goal line coffee hits the back of your throat, you got four delicious flavors. This ain't your grandma's pit water. This is goal line coffee, and it is the official coffee of hockey.
All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to episode number 2 of the season of Get the Puck Out. Me and Kyle are back. I had the rotten flu of doom. Pretty brutal last week, so I wasn't doing nothing for nobody. Kyle was dying with the rotten flu of doom. We're back. We're here to talk some hockey. A lot has happened, and a lot seems to be going down right now. It looks like the Tampa Bay Lightning and Braden Point are closing in on a three-year deal.
First on the scene, as per usual, Chrissy, NHL insider.
The NHL inside her is saying a $6.5 million a year average. We'll see what happens for his average annual value. But Braden Point is, if that comes in that range, that's a great deal and more great business for Tampa. Makes me want to puke. But Kyle, the other team in our division, the rotten team in our division, the rotten Toronto Maple Leafs from hell, they got Mitchell Marner signed since last time you and me talked to a 10.93. Is that what he did?
Yeah, no, 10.89. So 10.89, like 10, rounded to 10.9, but it is 10.89 on the books. And, you know, he did come in a little higher than I thought he was going to take. I thought even 10.5 was max, but you know, he still found a way to sneak in a box of breadcrumbs in there. But, you know, I don't know if it's going to work out for the Leafs. It's going to work out. But one thing I know for them is that if you take a look at their lineup, as you start to project the lines, you know, each line in their first three, whether it's Tavares and Marner or Matthews and Nylander or Kerfoot and Kapanen, they're pretty locked up in their top nine. All they got to do is slot in a winger on those four sides. Now, finding four successful ones, you know, whether they're players on ELCs or
players. Well, they got Janssen or whatever his name is, right?
Yeah. That's a good. So he'll fill one of the holes. And then,
one of the holes. But yeah, they lost some guys for this year that they had kind of plugged those holes in, like your Tyler Ennis's and Connor Browns.
They were busy scoring on them in the preseason.
Did you see that?
Ottawa ran all over Toronto. That was hilarious. And I know you can't put too much stock into preseason. No. Tampa's 1-3 or 1-2-0-1 or whatever you want to call it with an overtime loss. But still, I mean, you can't judge it. You know, some teams are trying to form their lines while other teams are still, you know, throwing out whole, you know, AHL rosters looking to see who's going to be the last guy in. And Chris, that's what I wanted to ask you with Boston right now is, you know, everyone's making cuts, rosters are trimming and getting short. Who's kind of making that push on the lower end for Boston to kind of lock up one of those last spots?
Yeah, you know what? They've really put Charlie Coyle a lot with Anders Bjork. You know, they had, Marcus Johansson went to Buffalo. We couldn't afford to bring him back. He was a great player, and obviously Coyle and Johansson did so much for them. But Anders Bjork, a kid who came out of Notre Dame, he's had some big expectations, but has had two shoulder surgeries back-to-back years. Doesn't seem to be very very strong enough for the league, maybe is the words I'm looking for. He doesn't seem to be very durable, but he is a skilled player, and they have him playing with Charlie Coyle and Heinen. I think you're going to see him wrap up a spot there, and then I think you'll see the fourth line look something like Chris Wagner. The second line winger spot next to Krejci will be Carson.
But mostly Poole. Guys who were kind of there last year.
Much changes with the team, except for I think Brett Ritchie probably gets in somewhere. Probably on the fourth line.
There's not a prospect pushing for a spot. I know Studnika's stood out a bit, but
been great, but I think he's better served in the AHL. I think Trent Frederick's better served in the AHL. I think there's a Sinishin, you know, if anyone should get a look, it should be him, but I think he'll be the first guy up kind of thing. And yeah, you know what, the defensive core is kind of already set too. And, you know, Vakanainen is the only one who's really going to be looking to push anyone in the top six. I don't know what the hell they're going to do on their back end. They have so many defensemen, but not to talk
they
about.
They could eventually waive someone, eh? Like I could see the guy like Miller. Being waived if he came back.
John Moore and Miller are both injured, right? So they're going to start the year on LTIR. But yeah, once those guys come back, you'll probably see, you know, a guy like Kevin Miller is a tough guy. They found the Rangers took McQuaid last year, the same kind of thing. It's the last year of a deal that pays them $2.5 million this year. So relatively cheap for a guy who can throw them with the best of anybody in the league. And a guy that brings some toughness. And you know what? If you trade for him now, he's probably a guy you can get something back for at the deadline if you're selling off a fourth or fifth round pick or third round pick or whatever the Rangers got from Columbus when they ended up moving McQuaid, right? So similar situation. I think they'll figure it out. Don Sweeney handed the negotiations with McAvoy and Carlo perfectly. You saw McAvoy come in at a nice bridge deal. Same with Carlo. Their window's 3 years. They have Torrey Krug coming up, and if he makes the open market, boy, is he going to get paid.
Yeah, and a couple other contracts as well. I mean, we knew that Marner was going to open the floodgate of contracts. You know, Besser signed, Konechny signed for 6 years, over $5 million. That's a good deal. He's pretty underrated over there in Philadelphia. He doesn't get a lot of buzz, but Travis Konechny, he's the player, and he's got a mouth on him. I love watching that kid play, but no, that's a good deal for them too. And Philly's an interesting team. I mean, I almost want to say that they're going to fight for that last wild card spot and they're going to make a push, but I just, you know, I'm not sold on Van Riemsdyk and Sean Couturier and you know, Giroux. That's obviously going to be a top line with Voracek. And, you know, outside of that, it's, you know, Nolan Patrick. He's really going to have to step up if they're going to make a playoff spot. And even guys like Scott Laughton, like former first round picks, like some of these guys got to really start to show up, or they're going to start to look at some of their first rounders, Jay O'Brien or Joel Farabee. I've heard a lot of buzz about Joel Farabee. They love the kid. They're putting him on the top line early in preseason, and he's getting chances. I think he's probably a guy that you're going to see fight for a spot, and look out for him in the Calder race if he's given that top line spot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's all about opportunity with an ice time, right? So that would be a absolutely huge candidate. Right. We're not quite ready for our prediction show yet, Kyle, but there's a candidate. There's a candidate for you right there. Moving along here, I wanted to talk a little bit about this. I know we did our top 10 centers list. There's just so much news going on. I don't think we really need to touch more on any more of these goddamn lists. Every other podcast did it anyway. Their top 10, this, that, or the other. So listen to any of our local friend podcasts on the Twitter that you can always see Kyle talking fantasy with. They'll have that covered. But the NHL came out with a top 100 list. It's the top 100 forwards here. And
I'm sure I'll have many problems with their rankings.
Well, here's the thing. Number one ranking isn't Connor McDavid. Number one ranking for the top 100 fantasy forwards. Fantasy. We're talking fantasy, right? Is Nikita Kucherov. Kucherov is the number one. I'll tell you the top 10 here, and then we'll kind of look for some discrepancies along the way. Nikita Kucherov's one. They have Alexander Ovechkin as two. Connor McDavid, three. MacKinnon, four. Patrick Kane, five. Brad Marchand, six. Leon Draisaitl, seven. Pastrnak, eight. Crosby, nine. Wow. Matthews, 10.
Wow.
Yeah, so Pastrnak some pretty big
ahead of Matthews.
Pastrnak ahead of Matthews and Crosby. Probably because it looks like the Bruins are probably going to run through that one line again this season. So maybe that's what they're figuring, but yeah. And then if you want to go into the back half of that, you got Barkov at 11, Mitchell Marner at 12, Rantanen at 13, Goudreau at 14, Panarin at 15, Sagan at 16, Tavares all the way down at 17, Taylor Hall, 18, 19, Claude Giroux, and 20, Steven Stamkos.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean,
I think this is a pretty good list if you're asking me.
Johnny Gaudreau comes in a little lower than I'd like to see him, but there's really tough competition to knock out Marner or Rantanen. I mean, he did produce more than them last year. Are expectations the same? Is Gaudreau going to break another 100 points, or is Marner or Rantanen going to be the one that kicks it into the high gear and takes a step over him? And personally, I think Panarin's coming in a little high here. I love Panarin. I think that he's going to be I don't think it's there this year for him to have a 100-point season. You know, John Tavares puts up 47 goals.
Yeah,
pretty much 90 points, right? I mean,
Johansson is the 98th ranked player.
Yeah, Johansson never really hit that ceiling I thought he was going to hit. He's a solid number two guy being thrust into a first line center role.
Low was Nazem Kadri. I think with the expanded opportunity and power play time in Colorado, he ranked came in at 91. That one looked
That he can be familiar with different surroundings and hit that 30 goal level again. You know, Nazem Kadri has been that 50-60 kind of point guy. He's had a few great years, followed by a down year to kind of jump back and re-hit that level. I mean, for Kadri to be any higher, he'd have to have 35 goals and break 70 points. Not sure if he's going to be able to do that. I have a more 25 goals, 54 kind of point guy. Definitely excellent depth in what he brings, as long as he doesn't make any boneheaded hits. But I think that was more of a Toronto tradition, so...
Yeah, definitely. But guys who fell out from last year, Nick Schmaltz, Chris Kreider, and Riley Smith off the list. And they're
No,
I don't like Kreider off the list there either.
Mikhail Granlin has always been to me. I think he's
99.
Okay. And you know, Nashville isn't, I don't want to say they're not an offensive team. They obviously have some dangerous weapons, but the way that they're kind of designed and played, I don't know. A guy like Kreider's going to be, he was stapled to Zibanejad's wing, who
came in at 94. I thought that was low, considering I heard that he's going to be playing with Crosby. I thought that was a little bit of a discrepancy for me. But guys, they have a just missed list on here. The guys that just missed were David Krejci, Jaden Schwartz, Patrick Hornqvist, Zach Parise, Nino Niederreiter, Dustin Brown, and
that's all deserving. Getzlaff isn't up there anymore. Niederreiter is a bit of a snub. Like I said, I don't know. Get James Van Riemsdyk out of there. He's a glorified, like, 27 goal, 15 assist kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's never having monster seasons. He's a good goal scorer, and, you know, stick him in front of the net on the power play and scrap in some rebounds. He's got great hands in front. He's a monster, but I don't know. He's ranked a little high.
Jack Eichel, 34.
I'd take Svechnikov over Van Riemsdyk 10 times over.
What do you think about Jack Eichel in the 34 spot?
A bit of disrespect, but...
especially when Patrick Laine's 29. I don't know about that. Patrick
Laine have that's more expectations than anything. He's not having
Hey, let's talk about Patrick Laine. How about those comments he made?
You know, I think he's just using it to his advantage to try to get a couple more dollars, saying, well, hey, look, if I would have been on the top line, I probably would have produced a bit more, but, you know, I've never had a second line center. You know, Statsy was a great fit, but we couldn't afford to keep him around. Jack Roslovich hasn't been the fit. Brian Little hasn't been the fit. You know, Ehlers had a really down year last year. So, I mean, like, I'm not saying I'm behind what Laine is saying. And I think that, you know, through translations, it's being interpreted the wrong way. Definitely going to be interpreted the wrong way. But I think what he's saying is that if you know, I'm a first overall kind of guy, you know, I should be playing on the top line.
Yeah, definitely. But, and you know what? Patrick Laine said he called and spoke with Brian Little. And Brian Little told him that he didn't even think he needed to apologize. He understood the context of it. So it got blown out of proportion. Listen, things aren't going good in that negotiation at all.
I haven't even heard a word of Kyle Connor either.
And you haven't heard anything on Kyle Connor. They've just recently, the Winnipeg Jets had to suspend Dustin Byfuglien now because, you have to do it. I mean, they knew he was stepping away from the team.
I think if they didn't suspend him, they wouldn't able to assign his cap.
Exactly. And that's just protocol, right? It's not like they're
more protocol than anything.
I understand what's happening. But, you know, Byfuglien, and what is there any team that had a worse offseason than the Winnipeg Jets? Like, who had a worse offseason than them?
No one.
Can't think.
You're absolutely right. I mean, they lost Tyler Myers. They lost Jacob Trouba. They lost. And this isn't just, you know, potentially losing Byfuglien for the season. This is losing Byfuglien in general without getting any pieces, no selling off.
That's why the team to begin with, man. It's not that the fans won't come out. It's that the guys don't like living there. That's how it seems to be to me.
I hate hearing that, but you're absolutely right. It's got to be it.
Line A, like all these guys always seem to have a problem out there, except for Blake Wheeler, who's an absolute stud, you know. But he's not that. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say he's not that kind of guy. He did refuse to go to Arizona, but you know, he seems to be okay there. But I don't know, man. I can't think of anybody
I don't know how you can play in that building and not take in that experience and want to play there if the team's got something special, which they did. That's the thing. It's not like they were a bottom team and they couldn't get their shit together and they were like the Buffalo Sabres who just couldn't get it right. I could get it. Yeah, get me the fuck out of this dump. But, I mean, I look at I'm switching sports here for a second because – Buffalo fans are nuts, but you know the Bills Mafia in Buffalo.
Did you see
the Bills Mafia in Buffalo are nuts? That city will go crazy for the Sabres when they're good, and Winnipeg's the same about that hockey team. I hate hearing that.
Yeah, man, I don't like hearing it either. But at the end of the day, the guys' families have to grow up there. They got to raise their kids there, right? Yeah. And if it's not your favorite place in the world, then guys are going to want to move, especially in the day and age where everybody the players have a lot of pull now. They can kind of force their way around. You saw Mitchell Marner take his hometown, Toronto Maple Leafs, and squeeze them for every last cent that they had out of their pocket. You know, it's like when a bully tries to take all your lunch money. Like, sure, he left them with a couple bucks, but he made sure he emptied the pockets ahead of time. Hey, Kyle, are you alive?
Always use fresh macaroni. If the box rattles, throw it away.
Ah.
Your cable TV is experiencing difficulties. Please do not panic. Resist the temptation to read or talk to loved ones. Do not attempt sexual relations, as years of TV radiation have left your genitals withered and useless.
Well, I'll be damned.
All righty. Sorry about that, guys. Technical difficulties there. Had a coughing, crying baby had to run into yesterday, and then our schedules kind of got in flux, so... back again today, but even better, we have news that Calgary forward Matthew Tkachuk signed a 3-year bridge deal as well, coming in just along with the point contract at $7 million, and a very good contract for the Flames, who didn't really have any room to give him any more.
No, that was as much as the Calgary Flames could give Matthew Tkachuk, and you know, it's one of the, again, these bridge deals are good for the player and the team. Everybody gets there, so I'm happy for Matthew Tkachuk and good for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, for sure. I think that with the initial Marner signing, everyone was like, oh my God, these RFAs are got to be out to lunch. But I think you can thank Braden Point and the Tampa Bay Lightning GM Julien Brisebois for maybe kind of bringing the situation back to life.
Yeah, definitely.
I look at Tkachuk signing, and from everything that we heard is that they were far away. And, you know, I mean, that's what we heard on Point too. But, I mean, turns out far away isn't really that far away from the sounds of it. Because he comes in for $7 million, so I have a feeling the Point bridge kind of really gave an option to players that say, hey, in 3 years, I know I'm going to cash in. So, you know, they get paid now. They give the team a window now, and everyone will get paid later. It's a win-win for all sides of the organization on both fronts. So now Winnipeg, really the only team left that needs to figure it out. Now, if Line A, we hear that... he and the team were kind of both interested in a bridge deal, more because they're not going to pay him top dollar for 8 years. I don't want to say he's considered a project, but I mean, they definitely have some work to do on his overall aspect of his game and finding a proper spot for him in the lineup. Right? Exactly. So
because of, you know, 30 goals last year, but 18 in the month of November. So yeah, I mean, that's not a lot of overall pick. Scoring.
He's going to want to get paid regardless. I could see 3 years, $8 million or something like that. I think that's
$24 million deal or something like that. I could see something along those lines, but Kyle Connor still needs some money too.
Yeah. And that's,
but they could have cap relief coming with Byfuglien looking like he's not going to play anymore. So
yeah, that's the thing too. And they've already suspended him and his contract. So there is more room in the books for both of them.
Yeah, it's just about getting the job done. And they're like the last team left here. really to get their big guys done. You saw the dominoes fall with Marner. I thought everyone was going to be licking their chops at that. And like you said, Breezeball kind of brought it right down to earth with the fair deal for Braden Point, who led the NHL in power play goals last year, 90-point guy. Expect him to build on that on a talented Tampa team as well. So, yeah, you know, it's bridge deal season and discount season, it looks like, if you want to keep in those windows, right? That's what you got to do. You got to give these bridge deals. And the players, if they're committed to winning, will usually do it. Or if they're Mitch Marner, they'll squeeze their hometown team for every penny they got either way. Yeah.
Now, some hot news, and I'm not that I'm glad that we ran into some problems yesterday and we're running things today, but we always have a curse that whenever we break an episode, there's definitely something hot dropping that later.
Yeah,
and we heard yesterday about Captain Underpants, Austin Matthews, apparently had a little episode in Arizona. Got a little jiggy, tried to jiggle a doorknob with the female security guard in her car, and I guess his pants ended up around his ankles, so...
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It sounded like some disorderly conduct, but all I could think about is, wow, that situation happened in May. If only he played on a team that actually played hockey in May, maybe he would have been okay.
Could have avoided all that trouble.
Yeah, exactly. That's a nothing story. Sounds like
he
pulled his pants down. He didn't even expose his bare ass. It sounds like he pulled out.
There's a large crowd out there that's going with, well, you don't know what she's feeling in that car.
It would be scary to have someone flip the
like. She doesn't know who these three guys are, if they're imposing any harm. So, like, looking in her shoes, it's a problem. But I mean, from the actual harmlessness of the actual story, yes, it's an uncomfortable situation for sure. Yeah.
This time it was harmless, right?
Yeah,
this time it was harmless. But if you're the girl security guard alone at 2 a.m. and a group of three guys come and one pulls on the car door, I imagine that was scary. And you know what? He was just drunk. He was trying to see if security would give them a reaction or chase them, but he didn't. You know, it's one of those things, you're drunk and you don't think about it. Is Austin Matthews the worst guy in the world? No. Is he a 22-year-old kid with too much money? Yes. That's what kids with lots of money will do at that age. I can only imagine what I would have done with $10 million a season at 22 years old.
I'd be in jail.
Yeah, or dead. Or dead, definitely.
I'm just kidding. But I know what you mean. It's just like, you think of all the scrutiny that some of these guys are under, and, you know, big market names. So, of course, the story's going to get dragged. You know, they're questioning his captaincy and whether or not, you know, you've got guys turning on him. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, bar fights used to happen on the regular for decades. And nothing was ever said. You know, no lawsuits were filed. Some guy would go to work the next game, like, I got punched in the face by Bob Probert. You know what I mean? Like, it's a story. No one was good. You know what I mean? Like, things didn't get blown up. And we're under that style of, you know, shame culture now, where anytime anyone does anything, we're jumping at the throats here. So I think we really need to dial back the situation here. He was drunk.
I think they need to dial it forward. I think they need to suspend him for the whole season. No, I'm just kidding. No, legitimately, though, it's such a nothing issue.
Chrissy, I love the chaos that Braden Point contract signed, because it brought the wolves out of the shed. Because everyone before was like, ha ha, the Toronto Maple Leafs just tossed the Lightning a hand grenade, and it looked like it bounced off the wall and went right back into their own bunker. But, you know what I mean? He comes in at 6.75. Yes, the taxes comes into consideration here.
Crazy.
It's beyond that. He took a bridge deal, and that's what I kind of said all along, is the team culture to extend the window. You know, fair pay-me-now contract. He's getting his money.
It's funny because people will say, yeah, but at least Marner committed
for six years.
He signed for 6 years. It's like, man, that just ensured that Braden Point's probably going to be with you for like the next 10, because his next deal's probably going to be 7 or 8 years or 6 years in length. You just got him on 3. That only walks him into RFA status still. He's not a UFA.
And if anything, he's going to get paid.
Be there longer. Marner can walk in 6 years.
He'll be in the double digits. He'll definitely be making 10 plus. I still think his next contract will come under Mitch Marner. Call that a hot take if you want. Yeah. I still don't think he's going to make 10.9 on his next deal. If he makes 10 flat, I could see that happening. And he's definitely going to have to get paid, because, you know, he is taking a cut now. He could have asked for a long-term deal, and he could be making 9, 9.5. He could have matched Kucherov's contract, but that doesn't make sense for the team based on the RFAs they have. I mean, you're even cutting into that last kind of few mil worth of space where you got to worry about player bonuses, and that, you know, if you don't have the cap for that going into the next season, that's a cap penalty for the following year. So, I mean, right, every dollar counts. That leaves the Tampa Bay Lightning with a couple million now to figure something out at the deadline, because we know they're going to be a hungry team looking to do something. And now, you know, I mean, they don't even have to move a piece. They might still might have to, but they're in a good spot based on that contract. And that's what no one else gets, is, oh, yeah, well, he's going to get paid. It's like, yeah, sure, but the team's in very good standing for the next 3 years. And that's the point of the contract. Happy about that. But one of the big things left, I know we talked about the Winnipeg kids and the Flyboys, but where does this leave Rantanen? Because he was the one really kind of pushing for that Marner comparable. And then now you see Tkachuk, now you see Point signed at very real, fair deals here. And I think the big thing with Rantanen is going to be term, right? Because he's worth $8 million on a three-year term. He's worth 9.5 plus on a 7 or 8 year term.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So they'll see it get done. It'll get done. It's crunch time now. We're a week away from
all these guys. They want to be there, right? None of these guys want to be playing.
Unless you play in Toronto, you're William Nylander and Marner, who will hold their team hostage. I still can't get over the fact.
In Sweden and stayed in the spas all season long if he could have.
Man, I still can't get over the fact that teams across the league have managed to get these guys to take good team-friendly bridge deals, this, that, and the other. And the Maple Leafs just got squeezed for every penny by a guy from their own town who grew up a fan of the team. It's just so funny. He took every cent he could.
Every other team or who's got their guy signed wants to use other team comparables as Marner. They, oh, well, good luck with Point. Good luck with Tkachuk. Good luck with Rantanen. To me, the only comparable to Mitch Marner were the other high-end contracts handed out by Toronto. The Tampa situation is completely different from Marner because Tampa and Joe Smith from The Athletic put out a really good article kind of explaining the whole thing where, like, the league shift doesn't necessarily matter. It's based on team culture. You look at Pasternak, you know, signing for deals in and around Bergeron and Marchand. You look at Tampa.
But like, I guess maybe Toronto has a team culture issue, and I think that comes from not having a captain on your team.
Maybe. But the whole thing there is that, like, you can't really use Marner as a comparable. Marner was using his own team comparables for his own sake,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's true,
you look
right?
At Point, it's like, okay, he's going to be looking at Kucherov or Palat and Johnson, other guys that have paid their dues, who have signed their bridge deals before their long-term deals. There's a culture there. The Marner had every right to ask for the money that he asked for based on
of course, he had a right to, but it's just funny how, like, they couldn't get one.
Handing those contracts out a year too soon. You could have signed Matthews for 9. You could have signed Marner for 8.5.
Yeah, he should have done it a year. He did it a year later.
Then you could have threw the 11 at JT, right? And then no one would have had a problem with it. But you give JT the money first, those kids are damn well going to ask for the same dollar. And then that's the lesson that Dubas learned. And you know what I mean? Like, do I think he learned from that lesson? Yes. Do I like kind of what he's done since? Absolutely. He flipped an expensive third-line center that, you know, with those big two names down the middle in Tavares and Matthews, he absolutely had to do, and he got good value. He locked up Kerfoot for a couple years. You know, he brought in Tyson Barrie. Now, again, an expiring contract that spells trouble for a cap-strapped team going into next year with only one defenseman signed. But for the immediate time, he kind of flipped his cards and made a situation work, and that's a strong Toronto roster heading into this year. Everyone wants to talk about the future, but you know, I don't care what team you are. It's, you know, every year, new window, new chance. So going into this year, regardless of how the Leafs shape up or how they retool next season, they look good right now. And they should be a team feared unless they go up against the Boston Bruins in the first round.
Definitely. All right, guys. Well, you know what? We've kind of talked all we could talk about for the RFA dominoes that have fallen. Thank you very much for tuning in to episode number 2 here at Get the Puck Out of the Season, brought to you by Full Press Coverage and the Full Press Radio Network, guys. Thanks so much for dropping in, and make sure you keep your stick on the ice. Bye now.